I want to talk this week on something so vital, brothers and sisters, so vital to us, our everyday lives. I want to talk, last week we spoke about believe and receive. This week I want to talk about faith. I want us to talk about faith and consider things of faith. You know, I've heard people say from time to time, I'm praying that God will give me faith. Well, here's my answer to that. That's a complete waste of time. They say, oh, I'm praying that God will give me faith. Complete waste of time. Might as well go and have a game of golf or do something that you enjoy rather than praying that God will give you faith. Why? Well, the Bible teaches us why. And you see, this is why it's so important to understand what the Bible says. What I have found is that so many people are given astray to their feelings, their emotions, what they think is right, what they've been told by someone is right, but they haven't considered what the Bible teaches is right. And I've understood that for a Christian to walk in the fullness of their call and enjoy the life of faith, they must be based on the Holy Scripture. That life has got to be based on the Word of God. If it's not based on the Word of God, it won't last. It's got to be based on the Word of God. So come with me then to the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, please, in the New Testament. Romans 12 and verse 3. It says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That's always a good thing, by the way. Let me just pause there and just say this. You know, it's a very good thing for us always not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. I find that so many people, they want to be known as something. They want to be, you know, somebody. They want to feel as if they are, you know, something. It's a trap. Be of no regard to what people think of you. You know, just walk humbly before God. Don't try and have a great name or anything like that ever. That's not what it. That's not. We want Jesus to be known. Amen? Amen. We want Jesus to be celebrated and Jesus to be known, not some person or some individual. And then it says, in the last part of the verse, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. God has dealt to every individual the measure of faith. God has given each individual the measure of faith. So why then would we go to God asking for more faith? That's not how we get more faith. God has already given us the measure of faith. It's interesting that the word measure there in the Greek is metron. The original language being the Greek language, the word is metron and metronome. Metron in the Greek is this understanding that we've just spoken of. Metronome adds the word law to it. Nome is the Greek for law. So it's interesting that constant measure of the beat. Metronome. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The law of the beat. And faith is the first part of that word in the original Greek. So the measure of faith has been given to us. So the question is, what are you doing with the measure of faith that you've been given? You see, faith needs to be spent. It must be used. It was given in the first place by God so that it would be used. If it is used in accordance with God's word, you receive more of it. That's how you get more faith. You use the measure of faith that God has given. That then is invested, if you like, in its use, and then you get more. That's how it works. Picture, if you would, for an example on this, that I'm holding some balloons in my hand with helium in them. Can you picture them? Can you see them, everyone? Yeah?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what color they are. They can be black and white and red, pink, green, blue, red, you know, whatever they are. They're just there. And I'm holding them. And there they are. Look, they're just there. Now, it's not the color of the outside that causes them to float. It's what's inside that causes them to float. But at the moment, they're being stopped from floating any higher because I'm holding them. But because of what's on the inside, if I decide to release one, it goes, it's released and it floats higher. What's on the inside manifests and it goes up. God has put faith on the inside of us so that when that faith is released, it has an impact in our lives. We go up. But the question is not, do you have faith on the inside? The New Testament has said, we have faith on the inside. The question is, what are you doing with the faith that's on the inside? And I find that many people hold on and they're not releasing their faith. But my friends, we have to release our faith if we want to see the manifestation of God in and through our lives. God has got plans for you. God has got great plans for you. God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. But the plans and purposes of God aren't seen unless we release faith. It's through the releasing of our faith that God has given us that we walk in the destiny of God. If we just hold on to what we've got and just grin and bear life, as it were, I've got heaven to come, I'll just grin and bear it while I'm going through. That's not the way for the Christian to live, my friends. No, 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 no. He has given us the measure of faith. This is a tremendous commodity. People speak of commodities like gold and whatever it might be, the commodity. But the greatest commodity you could have is faith. Faith is the one thing the New Testament says please God. Faith is the thing that causes victory in our lives. And he's saying, listen, he has given you the commodity of faith. Now, what are you doing with your faith? Use the faith that God's given you. Use it. And this is what I believe God wanted us to listen to today. This message on faith and using it. If you release faith, your perspectives change. Now, your circumstances might not change immediately, but your attitude changes. It's faith-filled. It's believing. And one thing that we know from the scripture is this: when we're believing, we are receiving. So the attitude that we have determines what we receive from God. Is that making sense?
Yes.
The believer is called then to live and to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says this. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Our confession before many witnesses. As there's a fight to faith, there are enemies to faith. Okay? Follow the logic on this. It's very simple. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. But if we've got to fight the good fight of faith, there are obviously enemies of faith. One of the main hindrances to faith is a lack of understanding about acting upon God's word. So many people, you know, seem to be trying to make God's word come to pass in their lives. They're determined, you know, to make God's word come to pass in their lives. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. All that's necessary for us in any situation is to say, well, what has God said about it? What has God said about it? And then I'll know. Or what does God's word have to say about this thing? If we know that the word is true, the word of God is absolutely true. Once we know that and we've accepted that, and I trust that we have, and then we've got to act that that word is true, we release our faith in that word and it becomes a reality in our lives. Are you with me? You see, many times people don't get healing despite knowing the relevant scriptures. People quote the scriptures. They say, oh, well, you know, I know that in Matthew 8:17, it says, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Yes, and I know that in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. But the problem is that those people then don't act like those verses of scripture were true. They want to see and then they'll believe. But God is saying, no, believe and then you will receive. I want to read out to you a testimony that I'd read many years ago the first time. And it just highlights this in such a real way. I've experienced this myself. But I want to read this testimony out to you of a man called Dr. A.B. Simpson. Dr. Simpson was a Presbyterian minister. He was a Presbyterian minister, and he later founded the Christian Missionary Alliance. He was told at a point in his life that he was dying of a heart condition, and he was given about 6 months to live. He'd had many testimonies of healing, even in his own church. And he decided to take a short leave of absence and went up to his farm where he could spend a lot of time studying the Word of God. Now, at the end of 2 weeks, Dr. Simpson, he took a piece of paper and a pencil and he wrote this down. After searching the Word of God for 2 weeks, I am convinced the Bible teaches that divine healing is for us today. And I this day accept Jesus Christ as my healer and declare that I am now healed from heart trouble and that I am well. And I promise God to use this newfound strength and life and energy entirely for his purpose and to further the gospel. I promise God. I will share this truth of healing with others and will help them. At that time, Dr. Simpson was 46 years old. He was invited shortly after that to a luncheon where he was to be the speaker. And all the time it was going around in his head that he had to speak. It was just one word that was going round and round and round, himself. Matthew 8:17, but it was the word himself that was going around in his mind. So Dr. Simpson opened his Bible, read the entire verse, and told the audience he wanted to focus his attention on that word himself. And then he gave the testimony of what had just happened to him. So he told them all that he'd been searching the Bible, that he'd come to the conclusion that Jesus was still the healer for today. So after the luncheon, he was invited to go mountain climbing by the men to whom he had spoken. Now then, the thought immediately came to him that he wouldn't be able to because of his heart condition. You see? But then he remembered that he had declared his healing. So he had a decision to make. Is he going to act on faith and believe God, or is he going to do what I called earlier in my testimony, the cowardly thing? Well, I'm glad to say he decided to act and believe God. This is what happened. He had not really seen or felt his healing up to this point. He just accepted it and he had declared it by faith, if you can follow that. All the way up the mountain, every time he got his mind off the word of God and the promises that he'd been studying, he began to feel the symptoms of his heart condition. But he overcame these feelings because as he claimed the word again for his healing, all the symptoms would go away. He fought this battle all the way up the mountain. But when he got up the mountain, he walked about victorious without any symptoms at all. He overcame the issues going up the mountain by declaring the scriptures and the truth of those scriptures and applying them to himself. What he was doing in doing that was applying the word to himself. See, it's all very well for us to have an understanding of what the word says, but that's different to actually appropriating what the word says. The word of God isn't a book to be understood at a distance. You know, the religion of Christianity, you can have it at a distance. But real Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's not at a distance. That's personal. That affects who you are. It changes your life and who you are. You know, if you were to say to me, you have a relationship with a lady called Micah Evans. I understand she's your wife. Say, yes, that's right. Well, describe the relationship. Okay, well, I'll describe it. Well, she's 5 foot six high, 5 foot seven high. She has blue eyes. She has blonde hair. She's the type of person that's practical, and she's. But there again, there's another side to her. She's very gifted. Actually, very gifted musically. People don't realize she's very, very gifted musically. No one knows it. Hidden secret for how many years have we been here? 8 years. I'm not going to say anything, but we still have some surprises for people, okay? And that's not what I would do. I wouldn't describe her in that formal sort of statistics type of way. You know? No. I describe her. This is my darling wife. This is my darling wife. You know, I love her. And it's a personal thing. We are in fellowship with each other. We love each other. We spend time together. You know, we enjoy each other's company. That's how I would describe our relationship. It's not a distance relationship. They used to say it very well of someone like Elvis Presley. People say, oh, I know Elvis Presley. Well, or some other famous politician or some singer or something. And what they really meant was, no, they knew statistics about them. Well, many people know, they say, well, I know the word of God. Well, actually, they know that there's 66 books. They know what those books say. They may know it in the Greek and the Hebrew, but they only know the word of God if they are applying the word of God to their lives. That's what it means to really know the word of God. It's when the word of God is being applied, when it's real, when it's manifesting. And faith demands that it manifests. I mean, this isn't an option. This is what the Christian life is all about. It must manifest. And there's a demand there. So we have to make that decision to believe what the Bible says, not what we see and what we hear. My faith isn't what I see and hear. My faith is based on what God says. When we develop our faith then to the place where we believe what the Word says, regardless to the circumstances we're in and the physical symptoms, let's say if it comes to healing or anything else that we might need in life, then we're believing the right thing, and that's what brings results. It's that faith in the Word. And I know that God's promises are for you. I know that God has plans and purposes for you in your life. I know that He's calling us to do things, exploits of faith. And for us to do those exploits, it takes us to make a commitment, a strong commitment to the Word of God and say, this is what I'm going to believe. I'm going to live my life with faith manifesting. I will be a person of faith. I demand that from my... that's the way I must live. I must see results. Brothers and sisters, it's the truth, you know. I want you to say this. When you have a need in your life, don't answer the need with fear. If you had a heart condition, as Dr. Simpson had, you have an opportunity to answer that heart condition with fear or faith. You could submit to the physical realm, which would cause fear. And you would be perfectly within your rights to do so. Your choice. It's understandable. It's less understandable in the natural to answer those physical things with faith. That's less understandable. But that's what the Bible calls us to do. The Bible calls us to walk a different type of walk, to live a different type of life, not to live a natural, carnal life, not to respond in the natural to these things, but to be supernatural beings, transformed beings. We're not normal. We're supernatural. We're new creations in Christ, the New Testament says. I'm not an ordinary human being. I'm a supernatural new creation. I am a new creation in Christ. And as a result, I can still choose to operate in the natural and allow fear to dictate and shape my life. Or I can say no to fear, no to the natural response, and yes to faith, and say, I will not respond in the natural. I'm not going to respond in the natural. You know, in the course of everyday life, so many people just are in the natural. I've got to say, it's so boring. You know, they're natural. They get all fuss. They're into a fuss and a tiz, you know, about nothing. Because they're in the natural. They're not operating on the faith level. I'm so excited about the faith level, folks. Because I know in the faith level, all things are possible. And God is calling you and I to operate on that level. And this could be for anything in life. It can be for your studies. You know? Someone may say to you, you may have a carnal-minded person who's giving you, let's say, career counseling. And you may say, I want to be a space woman, whatever, you know. And they may say, oh, there are very few people do that. Oh, very few people could. Now, why don't you become more realistic? No, well, why don't I not be realistic? Why don't I be believing that all things are possible? And why don't I take a journey of faith? Because you could do it, whatever it might be. It applies to each one of us, whether it's a business. God may have given you a business idea. Or it may be just believing for your neighbor or your family member. It may be just believing that you could have enough temerity of faith to get a new car or something simple, pay the bills, not be stressed out about debt all the time. That God has a way somehow. And God is saying, listen, exercise faith and see what I will do. That's the operation of the investment of faith. Or you can do the natural thing, which is perfectly understandable and perfectly reasonable on the natural level. And my counsel is avoid it. Although it's reasonable and natural on the, you know, that level, avoid it. Shun it. But that's understandable to operate on that level. Instead, operate on faith and victory. Now, I don't know what God is saying to you for your life. I don't know where God's directing you, but I know that He's directing you. I know the enemy is trying to direct you as well, because it's a fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. I know the enemy is trying to come in and give you direction. The enemy's trying to trip you up. He's trying to get you out of faith. He'll try and get you in the carnal. He's going to try and get you into flesh. He's going to try and isolate you, stop you talking to faith people. Don't be about faith. The enemy doesn't want you around that. The enemy wants you in the natural. He wants you in the natural. He wants you all emotional, all caught up in your emotions and your feelings and all of that. Shun it. Be a person of the word. Say, I'm living by faith. My walk is faith and victory. All things are possible for me. I can do all things. What, mountain-moving faith? That's the type of faith I have. Oh, yes, I've got mountain-moving faith. How do you know? Well, God's word tells me that I have it. Faith as big as a mustard seed. Do you believe the measure of God's faith was a mustard seed size? Absolutely. And so, my dear friends, the challenge today as we close is this. Exercise faith. Exercise faith in God's word. He loves you. He has plans for you. He has a future and a hope for you. It doesn't matter if you're 100 years old. He's got plans and a hope for you that the rest of this day is going to be a beautiful day, and you can give an encouraging word to someone, and you can activate faith in someone, and He may even cause you to set up a business. All things are possible for them that believe. I'm going to put no limits on God. Because I read enough stories from around the world of the most remarkable things that happen. You know, in America, I just read of a man, he was 107 years old. He drove his car across the country to go to a conference. I thought, that's a lovely testimony. And there he was on the television giving his testimony and sharing his notes on the conference. Beautiful. 107. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, let's stand here. And we're going to sing something that I'm not sure we've sung before. But it's faith is the victory.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Faith is the victory. And I want us to respond. Now, I want you to, even as we're singing this song, even as we're worshiping at the end here, I want you to ask these questions of yourself. What do you need faith for today? And will you act in faith? Will your actions back up the faith that's inside you? Friends, ask that of yourselves today as we sing this last closing hymn. And if you want prayer for anything, an agreement in faith, you come to the front, and I'll be pleased to do that with you. Praise God.